In the name of Jesus, amen. During the season of Lent, we remember. We remember that we are sinners in need of repentance. We remember that we are mortal. We remember that Jesus Christ, the one and only Son of God, came to suffer and die for sinful mortals. So important to remember. George Santayana is the poet and writer who said, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it." That almost sounds like he'd been reading our epistle lesson for today, where Paul is instructing the Corinthian Christians about those who had gone before them. Paul writes, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did." The Apostle Paul warns the Corinthian Christians about what had happened to the Israelites. Israelites are God's people. These are not foreign pagans. These are not unbelievers. These are the people of God. These were the people who witnessed God's bestowing the plagues upon the Egyptians. These are the ones who walked across the waters of the Red Sea. These were the ones who God brought out of Egypt by a mighty hand, and they witnessed his power and majesty. And yet, Paul writes, "Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Most of God's people did not reach the promised land. Most of them. Not because God was unfaithful. God led them the whole way. God protected them. God provided for them. And yet, when it came time to enter the promised land, only two men, Joshua and Caleb, said, "Let's go in." The others said, "Oh no, the enemies are too great. We'll never make it. We'll get destroyed there." And they paid the penalty for their disbelief and their murmuring. God swore that none of the men who were 20 years and older would enter the promised land. Except Joshua and Caleb. Their children would, but those adult men would not. All those 20 years and older would die in the wilderness, and that's exactly what happened. And that would have been over 600,000 men. So to say that God was not pleased with most of them is a masterful understatement. Paul's purpose in drawing the parallel is this. Just as many Israelites were disqualified because of their unfaithfulness and false worship, the Corinthian Christians, and yes, that would be us too, face the danger of being disqualified from salvation. False worship, sexual immorality, and even grumbling can become stumbling blocks that have led people away from faith in the past and can do the same thing even today. And if you don't think that can happen to you, then you're not paying attention. Now, God doesn't want that to happen to anybody. That's why he has it written down. Our God is a faithful God. He does everything possible for us to be included in his kingdom. But he also warns us that we can walk away from his faithfulness. He won't walk away from you, but you can walk away from him. He allows you the freedom to do that. That's not what he desires, but it can happen. Paul writes, "Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." There's that incident where the Israelites worshipped a golden calf as their god because Moses was taking too long to come down the mountain. And that's the people of God. Can Christians today become involved in blatant idol worship? Of course. Happens all the time. When Christians, and we're talking Christians, we're not talking about unbelievers, we're talking about Christians, anytime we put something ahead of God, that's idolatry. And it can be money, it can be work, it can be family, sports, food, recreation. Not that any of those things are bad in and of themselves, but when we put them ahead of God, we are participating in idolatry. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. That's how the people of God behaved, and God would not simply look the other way. And He doesn't today either. Is God concerned with how we conduct ourselves in our bodies? Of course. Say, well, you know, everybody's doing it. It's the way things are in our world. It's not that way with God. God is attentive to those things. And if you think it doesn't matter how you conduct yourself and you're with your body, you're fooling yourself. Finally, Paul mentions the sin of grumbling. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Some of these people of God did not enter the promised land because they were grumblers. We grumble all the time. We grumble all the time about all sorts of things. Can being a grumbler keep you out of the kingdom of God? The answer is yes. Now, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And so if you think, well, you know, that's not going to happen to me. That happened to those people, but you know, I'm a better Christian than that. I go to church. I do the right thing. That's not going to happen to me. If you don't think it can happen to you, then you're not paying attention. Don't think that you're some kind of special exemption or you're an outlier of some kind. Let the one who thinks he stand firm take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. God is faithful. And that's where this leads us. Paul writes, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Yes, temptations come, and in Christ they can be overcome. Christ gives us the power, not in and of ourselves, but in Him, to face whatever challenges come our way. Our God is a faithful God, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He's not setting you up for failure. He's not watching you to see how far you'll go before you fail. Our God is a faithful God who didn't even spare the life of His own Son for you. That's how much He loves you. God is faithful for us. But the temptation can be laziness, complacency, oh, I'm fine, that's not going to happen to me. And so again and again, our God calls us to have ears that hear, hearts that repent of our sin, hearts that desire to hear the Word of God, because in and of ourselves, we do not have the strength to withstand the temptations that come our way. But in Christ, we have the power to overcome all things. We have that promise through His holy word. And because of that, we are never left in a losing situation. The faithful God who has sent Jesus to be your Savior, to die for you, rise for you, will do everything He can to keep you in the faith. And that means you are being attentive to His word, to His voice, and repenting and confessing those times when you failed. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own strength. Don't think, well, that can't happen to me. Trust in the grace of God, the power of His word, which never fails, and will continue to assure you of His grace and mercy. that He provides for us in every circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.